The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You know, the letter of St. James is always really cool. So if you want, it's probably one of the better starting points. If you're like new to the Bible and you want to read something cool, start. The letter of St. James is always very practical. So today's reading, though, is I think one where it could cause a little bit of confusion. He begins saying, "Where do the wars and where conflicts come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet but do not possess," etc., etc. So what he's talking about is the fact that we have disordered desires in our hearts. And he says, when our desires are disordered, then we seek after things kind of disproportionately, and that's what causes problems. So what happens is, what later spiritual authors would talk about are attachments, okay? St. Ignatius of Loyola, he's always one of my go-tos. He had a really simple viewpoint on existence. He says there's two kinds of things in existence: God and everything else, okay? So if you're not God, you're created, and he refers to them as creatures, right? But so you're either God or you are something that is created, and not just material things. Angels are created. Your thoughts are created, your emotions are created, you know, flowers and anything at all that is not God himself, whether or not it is abstract or imaginary or whatever it is a created being one way or another, and therefore it's not God. And what happens is we tend to, if we're not careful, because we're surrounded by things that in and of themselves are good, you know, comfort is good, pleasure is good, money is a good thing, you know, all kinds of things that are in and of themselves good. But what happens when we start to chase after them in a disordered way? For example, money's an easy one to pick on, right? Money is not a bad thing. That's why the church is always telling you to give money to the poor. If you were giving them poison, you know, it would be a bad thing. We're saying give money to the poor because it's good. However, the gospel also tells us that money is very dangerous because it's so easy to get attached to it. We don't even notice. Because you, with money, you can pretty much do anything in the material world you want if you've got enough of it, right? You can't extend your life. There are a few things you can't do. You can't become holy, but you can do a lot of things with money. Therefore, it's dangerous because you can get very easily attached to it. And this is kind of what St. James is talking about. In the end, when we are attached to things, when we start to forgive, for example, money gets a bigger priority than God in our life, now you got real problems. And a lot of people fall into that trap. You may not admit it to yourself, but if you want to know if something is a false god, basically, this is what we're talking about. Money, in this case, can become an idol. If you want to know if something is an idol or a false god in your life, ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, what happens if it gets taken away from me? Do I freak out? Okay, freaking out is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When St. Paul enumerates the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, equanimity, freaking out does not enter into that list. Therefore, if God takes something away from you and you freak out over it, It means that you're attached. And it means that there's a disorder to your attachment. It doesn't mean it won't hurt. You know, let's say, for example, God allows one of your children to become deathly ill and die. Okay, you can be sad, you can be heartbroken. You should be sad and you should be heartbroken. But if you lose the entire meaning of your life, which some people do, then God maybe allows that bad thing so as to purify your heart, because in the end of the day, the only one thing that really ultimately gives meaning to our life is God alone. And what happens then, the other way that you can tell if something is your idol is just ask yourself, how much of my time, what sacrifices am I willing to make for this thing? You know, we all have to eat, so we all are going to spend a lot of time working. That's, you know, St. Joseph worked a lot. He worked long hours and he worked hard. Work was not his idol. Money was not his idol. Because when things got taken away, he didn't freak out over it. It was always in function of God, right? But how do I use my time in the sense that when push comes to shove, if I have to choose between God and something else, who wins? How many times do we skip Mass because of work, or because of travel, or because of soccer games, or whatever? How much time do we dedicate in a day to our prayer life? If we never, I mean, granted, again, we don't expect you to pray the same amount of hours that most people work. You know, you're not going to be like 8 hours on solid praying. Not even the contemplative nuns do that, okay? But do I regularly and systematically allow other things to take away from my prayer life so that I really essentially don't have one? Well, it means that you are letting other things become idols. You're letting them become the first priority. And what happens then is that's why St. James says that's why we get all worked up about things. Because then when something becomes your idol, then it's slowly you start to feel like I have a right to this thing. And if anything at all touches it, then I freak out and then I attack or I get angry or I do whatever. Because somebody has stepped on my turf. They've taken away the thing that I have a right to. There's an injustice. And this is what St. James is talking about. And we can do the same thing, frankly. If somebody somehow magically were to take away God from your life, then you would have a right to freak out and get angry and say, there's an injustice here. Fortunately, nobody is able to take away God from your life if you really don't let them. St. Paul himself says, you know, what can separate us from the love of Christ? The danger or death or the sword or whatever. He says, nothing, absolutely nothing. So this is the invitation then. We can do make a little conscience examination and say, okay, what could possibly be the idols in my life? And again, ask yourself, how do I use my time? And ask myself, if something takes this thing away, for example, my good health, do I freak out? What is my reaction? What are the things that cause me to lose peace? Okay, if they cause you to lose peace, there's a red flag there. And St. James is asking us, let's take that to the Lord and put it before him and submit it in a certain sense to God so that God is always in first place and then everything else will shake out okay. Father and Son, Holy Spirit.